Hey everybody, and welcome to the online worship service here at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. My name is Pastor Amanda. I'm excited to be with you today and kicking off our Missions Month. Here at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, we spend the month of March highlighting our missions ministry. So that's what I'll be getting to share with you today. If you are new or newer to Park Ridge Presbyterian Church and you have not filled out the I'm New Here form, we invite you to take that next step with us. You can find it in the show notes or head to our website, parkridgepresby.org/getconnected. When you take that next step, you let us know that you are here, that you're paying attention, and then we can do our part to help you get better connected to the ministries of this church that could help your faith make a difference for you. So I invite you to take that next step. Before we get started today, let's pray together. Loving God, we ask that you would meet us here today with whatever it is we're carrying or whatever we're struggling with or distracted by. God, would you help us lay it down and allow us this time to connect with you? We pray that your Spirit would bring the comfort, conviction, and confidence each of us needs. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, like I mentioned, we are kicking off our Missions Month. March is Missions Month here at PRPC. We highlight our missions ministry at our church, and over the next few weeks, you'll be hearing about the ways our congregation partners with local organizations and initiatives around the world to bring about God's kingdom work. The Missions Committee at PRPC, it oversees an annual budget and makes financial gifts to local agencies that we believe are doing God's work and meeting the needs of our neighbors. We cultivate relationships with these organizations. We become friends with them over the years, and our team works to create opportunities for hands-on service, for education, for in-kind collections and donations in this important work with our partners. Back in 2022, we launched the Priority Mission Partner Program, where we select one of the organizations that we've been supporting financially or with in-kind collections for years, and we decide to prioritize them, highlight them for a whole year, and learn more about the work that they're doing and create more opportunities for engagement for our congregation. We started back in 2022 with Exodus World Service. Then we partner with Covenant House with the infamous sleepout on the church lawn. Then in 24, we partnered with Casa Central, and last year, we partnered with the Night Ministry. And we've been so encouraged by the ways that our relationship, our connection, our investment in these agencies has grown and developed through this Priority Partner Mission Program. I'm really excited to share with you that our 2026 Priority Partner is The Harbor. The Harbor is an organization that is close to home. It is located just in Des Plaines, Illinois. The Harbor has been providing emergency shelter, transitional housing, and supportive services to homeless youth ages 12 to 24 in the North and Northwest Chicago suburbs for over 50 years. They are committed to offering services rooted in the belief that youth must have their basic needs met before they can build a promising future for themselves. We are so excited to see where God will lead us and what we will learn and discover this year as we prioritize the Harbor as our priority mission partner. Each week throughout this series, you'll be hearing one verse that is the same every week. It is our grounding, inspirational verse for this series. It comes from Micah 6:8. Micah is a prophet in the Old Testament, and he speaks to God's people saying, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good, to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God." Micah was a prophet sent by God to bring messages of judgment about social justice issues and corruption, but also messages of hope about God's plan for redemption. Micah was contemporary to some of these other prophets, like the prophet Isaiah, who might be really well known, and the prophet Hosea, who might be lesser known, writing during the time of the Assyrian Empire, where it had conquered the northern kingdom of Israel and threatened to conquer the southern kingdom of Judah, where Micah was. In the midst of injustice and inequality, God used Micah to bring messages that would urge the people of God to return to God and God's ways. A couple weeks ago in Josh's Ash Wednesday sermon, he mentioned how we might not need that many reminders this year of our brokenness or the brokenness in the world. It seems like daily we're bombarded with messages that this world is not the way that God intended it to be. And all of those heartbreaking headlines, those unjust systems we encounter, the inequality and the racism, can lead us to ask questions like, well, what can we do? What can we do in the face of all of this? And this is where I want us to hear Micah's words as if he's speaking to us. God told us what is good. Do justice. Love kindness. Walk humbly with God. Over the course of the next 3 weeks, we're going to be taking a deeper look at each of these challenges that come to us, these charges from Micah. And today, we're going to be talking about the invitation to do justice. Throughout Scripture, it is clear that it is part of God's character to be just. God is a God of justice. We see that God is continually calling out the powerful for being too greedy or too violent. God creates provision for the poor and for the hungry. God calls people to be generous and share what they have. Our God is a God of justice. And as people of God, we are challenged to be people who do justice. Now, maybe that word justice doesn't sound very neutral to you. Maybe it sounds charged with politics and social agendas. Maybe there's even particular leaders or voices or rhetoric that is coming to mind for you. If that's true for you, I want to invite you to suspend judgment for a moment on that word justice. As we turn to the book of James, I want you to hear the words of the prophet Micah and the letter written by James in the New Testament in conversation with one another. James, the half-brother of Jesus, writes a letter to the church in Jerusalem, saying, "You must understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For human anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all of that. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For any hearer of the word and not doer, for if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror and then go on their way and immediately forget what they look like. But for those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing." Micah says, do justice, and James says, do something. James, the author of this letter, is the half-brother of Jesus. He was leading the church in Jerusalem in those early days after the resurrection, after Peter had gone on to bring the gospel to distant places. And during this time, there was conflict in the city of Jerusalem between the traditional Jewish leaders and those who had come to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. There was a famine in the area, and so many people were hungry and poor. But unlike many of the New Testament letters written by Paul, James isn't writing to address one of these particular issues. James is writing much more about his wisdom and knowledge as a whole, what he knows to be true about God, and wanting to pass that on and share that with the church in Jerusalem. James was heavily influenced by Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that we find in Matthew's Gospel and the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. So the whole letter reads more like wisdom teaching that reinforces Jesus' greatest commandment, to love God with everything you've got, and to love your neighbor as yourself. In this passage we read, there are two bits of wisdom that James offers that I want to highlight. First, James instructs us to be quick to listen, but slow to anger. And to just leave anger out of it all. First, James instructs us to be quick to listen and slow to speak, and to leave anger out of it altogether, because it's a waste of time. This feels like some very timely wisdom for us to hear. We are living in a very reactive time, a very outrage culture time, where many are quick to be offended by one another. We make snap judgments about people's beliefs, about who they are, and fill in the gaps with some of the least generous assumptions about one another. We see this play out constantly online, but you and I both know this is not the only place where these kinds of snap judgments and rage can take place. We do this with one another all the time. Even in conversations with some of the most well-meaning people who see the problems in the world today and want to do something about it, people can get caught up in this endless cycle of outrage and despair and never move out of that cycle into action. So James tells us to do something. Following Jesus is not just about agreeing to a set of ideas about who God is, but really putting into practice what it looks like to love God with everything we've got and to love our neighbors as ourselves. James says, when we only listen to God's word and don't do something, we're like people who look in the mirror and forget what we've seen. When we listen but don't act, we miss out on the transformation and we risk getting lost in this world. The Christian life is one that is practiced. It's enacted. It's embodied. We learn to trust that God is loving and gracious and merciful and just by being people of God that are loving and gracious and merciful and just. Our faith comes alive when we connect it all together. When what we believe in our heads becomes what we feel in our hearts and affects what we do with our hands. Our faith comes alive when we do something. James, in this letter, famously writes that faith without works, without doing something, is dead. Works, meaning the stuff that we do with our agency, it's not enough to save you. Only Jesus can do that. But faith without any action on your part, really, is that faith that is alive? Is that faith that's impacting you, shaping you, changing you, transforming you? James would say no. We believe that faith comes alive when you take a step and do something. This week, and really all the weeks of Missions Month, we are inviting you to try to do something, to meet a need for someone in the community. We could sit around and we could despair about the issues facing the world today and consider who is to blame and what should be done about it. We could do that. And, or, we could fill up an extra grocery bag of non-perishable items for our first Sunday food drive to ensure that someone in this community gets the groceries that they need this week. You could join a team going to the Irving Park Community Food Pantry this Tuesday to assemble spring goodie bags for the kids that are served by the pantry. There's a team that goes to the pantry every Wednesday to share food. You could join them this week. If it's hard for you to get out and serve in person, you can send a small donation consider making a contribution to one of our mission partners, to one of our mission partner food pantries, or make a contribution to PRPC for Mission, and our team will help you make that contribution. You can do something. It is easy to believe that the issues are too big, too complicated, too hopeless, and that can get us stuck in a place of inaction. James invites us to do something, to put your faith, however big or small, in action today by taking one small step. This whole month, we're going to be highlighting the ways that we try to respond to the needs of our neighbors by doing something. Can we handle it all? Can we bear it all from just this corner of Crescent and Delphia here in Park Ridge? No. But we believe in a God that is big enough to hold it all together, and God invites us to do our part, to put our faith in action to do something. So this month, we're inviting you to do something with us. Come back next week as we talk about part two of this message series, Faith Comes Alive, where we talk about loving kindness. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks that you love us and you lead us. For those of us who are feeling a little lost, a little disheartened, a little hopeless, God, would you speak new life to us today? Would you remind us of the things that we can control, the things that we can impact, and the ways that we can make a difference with our very lives? God, we give you thanks.